The Autobiography of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, The Great Path of a Buddhist Disciple. This is the biography of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu and how he, from having renunciation, became a really great lineage master. Amongst the really great students of Jigme Lingpa, one of them was Dorji Ching Rinpoche. Another was Jigme Chungwe Aosa. One was Jigme Kwoja. One of them was Jigme Aosa. And who we are talking about over here was Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And he was born in 1765 and went into Parinirvana in 1842. And in terms of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, there really were many different stories. However, what we are talking about today is just one of those stories. In his family, there were 9 children. Of those 9 children, he was the second. Older than him was one brother. And he was in a family that wasn't wealthy and also wasn't poor. And he was born in a very fortunate family in which he was able to take refuge due to good merit. And if we are too wealthy or if we are too poor, it becomes an obstacle or obstacles to our practice. His mother was very interested and was in pursuit of attaining enlightenment. And apart from her, the rest of his family was very involved in material concerns and had great attachment to these. Because of his mother's great belief and practice in the 3 jewels, she supported his practice. When he was 12 years old, he started learning some Dharma texts. And when he was 14, he went with his family to Lhasa to pay respects. And he went to Sangye Monastery. And it was on this trip that he first heard about the stories of Milarepa. And on hearing these stories, tears ran from his eyes. And he was full of belief. And it helped to really reduce his attachment to these worldly concerns and gave him much greater belief in the 3 jewels. And he thought to himself, I am so affected and have such belief as a result of reading these stories of Milarepa. I really believe that in my past life I must have been a student of Milarepa. At the age of 15, in front of the second Nyima Japa, he requested for the instructions. And he asked how to practice them. And the master was very pleased and said that as long as he stays in meditative concentration, in the true nature of mind, there's nothing that he really needs to change. And to just continue practicing like this. Once while Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu was visualizing Vajrasattva in the state of Rigpa, the Vajrasattva endowed him with a bright mirror. It was a sign of cleansing all his negative karma. And since then, from that day, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu never stopped his Dzogchen practice for a day. From the age of 16, he helped his brother in terms of doing trade. And he was very, very adept at this. And his brother used to explain to him in all sorts of situations how to continue these material concerns in a very skillful way. As a result, many times he went to the Mongolian areas to do business. And everybody said that he was very adept at doing business. However, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, while doing this, never let go of the idea that he wished to renounce these worldly affairs and attain enlightenment. But he noticed that for most people, when they were doing business, they would use all kinds of different ways to try and gain a profit to do their business and not consider the infallibility of cause and effect. And in this respect, really, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu really felt very negative towards these kind of actions. So when Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu was doing business, he never tried to get great discounts or deceive anybody. And as a result, he was very trusted and many people looked to do business with him. No matter what he was busy selling, whether it was pelts or things to use in the house, he was always thinking how he could really best benefit whoever he was doing business with. All the iron utensils that they used for daily usage were made by him, and he made them for everybody else as well. And because of his great kindness, at the end of the day, everybody would share their bonus, and he was given the chores of sweeping and brewing the tea. Whatever he did, he was good to other people. And this is what we are saying is the greatest merit here in terms of this biography we are mentioning now. He was always considering the effects and the afflictions that it would bring about and didn't wish to keep revolving around in samsara. He really wanted to be liberated from all of this. And this aspiration he never forgot. At the age of 17, he went with his family, his mother, and another Vajra brother to Lhasa, and they took with them 100 boxes of tea. And they were taking this to sell them. And his mother was very strong within her mind. And to take her along, she would be very happy because she would have the possibility to practice. And she let everybody know that this was her intention to practice when she was in Lhasa. Everybody was quite happy with this idea. And then one day, everybody went to go and practice and pay homage in Lhasa. However, Jigmigelwe Nyugu didn't go because he was feeling very ill and he stayed in his room. And his Dharma brother was on the roof and watching everybody go. Then the two of them decided to go out. And after being out for a very short time, everybody noticed them. And so they grabbed them and took them back. Then later, they finished all of their business and everybody had made all of their aspirations and had paid homage in Lhasa, and gradually they were returning home. At the age of 18, at the side of the guru, he went into a 100-day retreat. At the age of 19, he was really considering how to run away and escape this current situation of doing business at home. And in front of the guru, he requested for Dharma. And then he got news that his brother was very, very ill. And so he went home. And after trying many kinds of different medicines and different methods to reduce this negative karma, however, after all of this, it didn't seem to be helping. Eventually, the brother of Jigmigelwe Nyugu passed away. And this event didn't affect his mind of renunciation. In fact, it just reinforced his mind of renunciation. Then at this point, the leader Geshe Tso summoned Jigmigelwe Nyugu. The leader asked, "What are your plans for the future?" Jigmigelwe Nyugu replied that it hadn't been 49 days since the passing of their elder brother. And as the whole family was supported by him and relied on him, it was really as if the eyes of our family had been dug out, that even our enemies would take pity on us. It has come to this, so what can I wish for the future? And the leader, Geshe Tso, said, "Please don't beat around the bush. We have great expectations for you, so please behave well in the coming days." And they said to him that now he is the eldest in the family, and they will give him a lot of responsibility to look after the family. And what does he have to say about this? And he said, "I am not saying this to hurt anybody, but this is how I think. In terms of practicing the Buddha Dharma, apart from maybe giving up my own life, I will not give up on the Dharma." And he thought that his family and his relatives are just going to be an obstacle to his practice. He said what he had said the other day to his family had made them very unhappy. And he said, "There is nothing that you aren't able to do yourself and decide for yourself." However, the rest of the family thought that Jigmigelwe Nyugu would still have attachment to these material concerns. And so they didn't think that he would run away. However, Jigmigelwe Nyugu was thinking, "How can I escape this? But before I decide, I will speak to the guru and see what the guru says." And he said to the guru, "Please support my way of thinking." And the guru said, "Okay, I shall support what you wish to do, and I wish that your aspirations are perfected." After having received the permission of the guru, he then started preparing to leave, and he took some things in a case, and he left with two horses. And he'd heard that some Dharma brothers were at the Dzogchen Monastery, and they were in retreat, so he thought he would go there first. And then when he found his Dharma brothers, he told them his aspiration. And they all agreed with his way of thinking, and this wish to go to Lhasa was still there. However, He didn't have the clothes to be able to go on a trip. He didn't even have the shoes. And so, due to this, his Dharma brother was very sad. But Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said to him, "Don't worry, all his material concerns you don't have to worry about. Right now, go to Dzogchen Monastery and see if there's anybody there that is selling shoes. And then go and find a guru and to do any predictions to see if on the road we will meet with any obstacles." And when his friend left, he spent some time in the cave preparing some samba for the trip. And his friend later returned and had bought some shoes and said that the guru had said, as long as we are traveling with like-minded Dharma brothers, we won't have any obstacles on the path. As they were leaving, there was somebody that said, "Oh, you look like guys that are running away." And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said, "No, we're not. We're just going to some places to pay homage." And eventually he spoke to him, and eventually the person accepted and said, okay, he didn't think that they were running away. Afterwards, they went to Chamdu. Unfortunately, right then, Chamdun Ling's son, Rinzen Tienpo Yixing, and many other people were all going to Lhasa. And he went before Kanden Chuse's son and said, "We are students at the Dzogchen Monastery, and we want to go to Dzogchen Arsa to practice the Dharma. May we please travel with you?" Then after receiving permission, they all left together. Chengdu, they went to Gongbo Xiangda. When they got to Gongbo Xiangda, there were another five people, and they went to some holy places to pay respects. And they paid respects to a master who was practicing in a cave over there. And then they went to pay respects at Gangdang Monastery, and the master there, Master from Muya, entrusted Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu with the silver he was carrying as they were going to take a trip to Lhasa together. And they travelled to Lhasa with the master from Muya and also somebody from Dzogchen, whose name was Pema Sangdan, and they stayed at somebody's place there. And after 2 days, and while they were there, they met two nuns, and they wished to change their money to the local Lhasa money. And they were discussing what the cost would be, but they didn't come to an agreement. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went for a walk. And while he was away, those two nuns came back to where he was staying. And they then found his Dharma brother, Jigme Gwocha. And they said to Jigme Gwocha that they had already agreed the price with Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And really, Jigme Gwocha was like a child. He didn't think too much and or wrong of other people. So he then took all of the money and gave it to these nuns because they said that they discussed the amount to be changed, and he fully trusted them. And he said he would just go inside quickly to get something and go with them to get the money. However, when he came out again, the two nuns had just disappeared and he didn't see them again. And then he realized he had been deceived, and he was terribly upset. And just shortly after that, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu returned. And so Jigme Gwocha explained the whole situation with great difficulty to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And on hearing what happened, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu didn't become upset at all. Instead, all he did was comfort Jigme Gwocha, and he said, "Don't worry, this has just come about because of our past negative karma." And he said, "Oh well, it looks like we don't have the food to go for retreat, and to carry on being upset is really meaningless." Later, Jigme Gwocha also became a great master, and he wrote his own biography. However, this is something we'll talk about another day. And Jigme Gwocha still said, "Maybe tonight or tomorrow morning, should we go and find those two nuns?" And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said, "That's like letting a mouse steal something, then waiting for it to come back again. No matter how long you're going to wait, he's not going to come back." When they returned to their room and all their Dharma brothers heard about the situation, they were very sad to hear this. And Dzogchen Pema Sangdan burst into tears and said to Jigme, Gotcha. You really are a silly fool. And Muya, master, then comforted everybody. And he took out some money and gave it to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And then the next morning, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu and Jigme Gocha left Lhasa and they went on the path towards Sangye. And on the path, he said, "What are you thinking?" And Jigme Gocha said, "After all that has happened, how come you still have such a good, kind, relaxed state of mind?" He said, "All I'm thinking about is how I lost all of that money during the day and I'm not sleeping well at night." And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said to him, "Don't let your mind be so narrow. This has just happened because of our past negative karma. And continuing being worried really is meaningless. Let's continue to Sangye. And over there we can really meditate and practice and go into retreat. And we can engage in arduous practice. And why arduous is because we don't really have so much money to support our retreat." And then at a place called Putiju, they spent the night. And at that time, Dzogchen Chengli Aosa was busy practicing the mandala at the Sangye Monastery. And on the way, Jigme Gocha knew Dorji Ching Rinpoche, and he spent a lot of time with him and spoke a lot to him. And then by noontime, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu brewed some tea and some tsampa, and he wanted to go and make an offering to Dorji Ching Rinpoche. And Dorji Ching Rinpoche said that the two of them, that they had come to Lhasa to pay respects and to practice, was very good. And he said that the two of you, being so young, it's very difficult for you to be able to be in retreat. And he mentioned that he had heard that Jigme Gocha had lost all of his silver and that he wasn't upset at all. And instead that you comforted him. So I really believe that you are somebody who wishes to attain enlightenment. And he said, "I heard that you haven't taken refuge in any great masters, so if you go for a retreat in Sangye Jimpo, it's not going to be of great meaning." And he suggested that rather that they go and request for pith instructions from his own guru, his own root guru, Jigme Lingpa. And he wrote a letter for them, and then they travelled to where Jigme Lingpa was, and they reached the place in the evening. And the next morning, they went to his room and paid respects and homage to him. And there, Jigme Lingpa put his hand on top of the head of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, and at that time, all of his attachments and worries just disappeared. And he had the joy of being at the first level of a bodhisattva. And then Jigme Lingpa spoke to him for a while. And then he said for the next 15 days he gave them empowerments and oral pith instructions. And then after receiving the oral pith instructions, they went to pay respects to Songzang Gampo Wangmo. And then they returned to Sangye Monastery and went to the side of Dorji Rinpoche. And Dorji Ching Rinpoche said, "From now on, let's travel together and pay our respects and homage and practice to do it together. No point in us going separately." And so they traveled together to very auspicious places. They stayed at one place, at a cave, for 5 days. And they went to pay homage to Dorji Jase, to Mindraling Monastery, and to Jada Monastery. And then at the place that Jigme Lingpa attained enlightenment, they practiced there. They practiced Toga for 1 month. At that time, the helper of Dorji Jase had a lot of pain in his waist, and so he returned back to Lhasa. Then the three of them were left, and they planned to go to Rukha Monastery, where there was a great practitioner. On the way, they came to a river, and they couldn't cross with all of their suitcases or their baggage. And so they decided, "Oh well, to be able to leave behind our baggage is also good for the practice towards enlightenment." And so they left their baggage behind and they got into the boat with Dorji Ching Rinpoche in the middle. And while they were traveling over the river in the boat, they were quite fearful. And they thought they might die right there and then. However, they reached the other side. At that time, Gyalwe Nyugu realized that this was the great merit of the three jewels. And due to this merit, they didn't die. And then they went to Wenrang Shangpo, with Master Tangpo, and they went to the very high Gambala Mountain. And then they reached Langjiazi. And then eventually went to Jiangzi. And then in Ruka, they stayed with a wealthy family. And all the people there supported them and helped them to go and pay homage to the local great master. Nirumbushe's name was Pema Shining, and he asked him if they had brought any disease with them. And they said they hadn't any disease. And then they explained to him why they were coming to pay homage. So he said to them, first, you three go to the monastery, and in 2 days I will come and visit you. And then under the guidance of Pema Shining Rinpoche, they received many empowerments and teachings and guidance. At this time, Jigme Gelwe Nyugu realized that his Dharma brother, Jigme Gwocha, was quite a lazy person. Irrespective of whether he was inside or outside, nervous or just relaxed, he didn't ever go and fetch water, he didn't cook food, and always Jigme Gelwe Nyugu was cleaning up after him. And he would never do what other people asked him to do. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche also noticed this, and he said, I'm going to mention to you that I am noticing these characteristics of your Dharma brother, Jigme Gwocha. And so other people I wouldn't say this to, but because I know you have a lot of wisdom, I wish to share this with you because I think that he might become an obstacle to you. If you travel by your own, on your own, and we take him to Kang Chu and leave him with the family, and then the two of us can go and we can go to many places and do retreats, irrespective of whether you are at Gato, Bayou, Dzogchen, I will be able to organize that you will be able to practice. And really gave a lot of heart advice to Jigme Gelwe Nyugu. It seemed that really, in all aspects, Jigme Gwocha was a little bit short of the abilities of Jigme Gelwe Nyugu. His Dharma brother Jigme Gwocha was also a reincarnation of a great master. However, he had this great laziness. However, through the mention of Dorje Ching Rinpoche, it was more noticeable how lazy he was. And Gelwe Nyugu Rinpoche said to Dorje Ching Rinpoche, what you say about Jigme Gwocha is very, very true. However, he is with me as a result of my past negative actions. And this is the karma that I must forbear, and I will travel with him. And he said, I really have no wish to go home. And in respect to this, I wish that you give me your consent. Then, after receiving all of the instructions and teachings, Dorje Ching Rinpoche wanted to return to Kangju, and they Jigme Gelwe Nyugu and Jigme Gwocha decided to stay. And he said, okay, I will leave, and if due to good karma I haven't died in the time, within 3 years I will write a letter. And then you must come and visit me. If you don't come and visit me, it will mean that you are disrespecting our Vajra bond. And Jigme Gelwe Nyugu said, maybe it is better that I go with you to Lhasa. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, no, it is a far way to go, and then you have a long way to come back again. It is better that I just go on my own. However, this was very difficult for Jigme Gelwe Nyugu to accept that Dorje Ching Rinpoche should travel on his own to Lhasa. And so he insisted that he should accompany Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And then they traveled, and they got to Yangzhou Chiang Mai. And at that time, Dorje Ching Rinpoche's health was not good, and he had a lot of blisters on his body. And it really looked like he was going to attain Parinirvana very soon. And they only had a very little amount of food with them. Not even any tsampa, and only some tea to drink. And if they rested, then Dorje Ching Rinpoche required that Jigme Gelwe Nyugu help him up. However, during all of these difficulties that he was experiencing, never once did Dorje Ching Rinpoche complain. And he even said that in terms of being able to practice the Dharma, that we can endure some hardships is really of great merit. And Jigme Nyugu really had a great appreciation for Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And he thought, wow, that such a great master would maybe pass away so quietly without anybody knowing would really be very sad. And in thinking this, tears start to run from his eyes. And they're traveling. Dorje Ching Rinpoche said to Gyalwe Nyugu, you go ahead and have a look if there's a place for us to stay. And he went ahead and he found a flat piece of place where they could stay. And then he made a little place where they could let Dorje Ching Rinpoche rest. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, well, if this is a place where I die, it really is not a bad place to die. And then he drank some tea. And as he was lying there, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu gave him a massage. And the next day, they continued on their way. And on the path, they came across a carcass. And on the carcass, there was on the bone still a little bit of meat left over, although it was very dry. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, go and break those bones and we'll make some soup. And he said, you eat the meat and I will drink some of the soup. And the next morning, Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, as a result of drinking the soup, he was feeling much better. And then the two of them carried on to Uarshu Shanpang. And there, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu found a little garden and he made a place to sleep. And while he was doing this, a young girl arrived and she was very, very angry and moaned at them and said, you're not allowed to stay here. And in the process, Dorje Ching Rinpoche arrived. And when she saw how frail Dorje Ching Rinpoche was, she asked Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, what has happened to him? And he explained that they were practitioners and they were traveling yogis, and she was filled with compassion and went home and brought back a whole lot of tsampa for them to eat. And from this time on, Dorje Ching Rinpoche's health became better and better. And then they came across, when they got to Lhasa, the helper of Dorje Ching Rinpoche, and his helper had also recovered. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, that I didn't die as a result of your great merit. And so he said to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, you go and buy something to drink and some meat. And while he went to buy, he met some people from his hometown. And the people from his hometown gave him some tea leaves. And also, Dorje Ching Rinpoche gave him some tea leaves. And he heard that this Rinpoche was going to Dorje Jah Monastery. So he decided that he would go as well. However, when they got there, the one Rinpoche had already leapt into Parinirvana. And so he spent some time there circumambulating the body of the Rinpoche there who had passed away. And then they went to some other holy sites and went into retreat. And then he and Jigme Gyalwe then returned back to Lhasa. Jigme Gyalwe went to some places to holy places to pay respects, and Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went into retreat. He went to Jayaba, and by the time he'd got there, it was already afternoon. Then he found a very small cave, and he stayed there and went into retreat. And from the entrance of his cave, he saw a person who was really looking in a very sad situation. And their clothes were very torn and very old, and this person was doing prostrations. And when he saw this, all the thoughts left his mind. And he was full of belief, and he went to meet this person. And some tears left his eyes, and he then made some prostrations to this person who was doing prostrations. And this person said, don't do prostrations to me, you great master. And then this person prostrated to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And this person was quite dark, so he thought maybe this person was Indian, but maybe even Bhutanese because he had a red hat. So he asked him, Rinpoche, where are you from? And this person said, oh, I've just arrived here. And Gyalwe Nyugu asked him, where are you going afterwards? And this practitioner answered, "Wherever there is a holy site of Guru Rinpoche, I will go there." So he asked, "Where are you going to tonight?" And the practitioner answered, "I have no set direction." And so Jignigyawe Nyugu invited this practitioner to his cave, and he made some tea and gave him some sampa. And then he asked some questions regarding his practice. And this practitioner was able to answer and resolve all of the hesitations and questions that Jignigyawe Nyugu had. And Jignigyawe Nyugu felt, "Wow, I've really just met somebody who's exactly like Longchenpa." And Jignigyawe Nyugu explained his whole situation, from running away from home to his situation now. And he asked if there would be any obstacles in his practice, and where would be the best place to practice, at Kang Chu or somewhere else. And this practitioner answered, "Okay, let me pray to the three jewels tonight, and I will answer to you tomorrow." And then this practitioner recited these Samantabhadra's King of Aspiration prayers the whole evening, and then did some other practices, and throughout the whole night maintained sitting in the lotus position. And then the practitioner the next morning answered and said, "You will have no obstacles in your practice. However, at the age of 29, there might be some obstacles, and whether you live through this or not, I can't answer now." And he said, "But if you pass through this thereafter, you won't have any obstacles, irrespective of whether you're practicing at Kangju or Liujiang, wherever you are. And then after some time, you will find a place to meditate in the southeast, and that will be the place where you stay. And all your Dharma activities will flourish there." And actually, whatever this practitioner had predicted actually happened. And Jignigyawe Nyugu became a really great lineage master. And I think they're saying that he was also known as Dajiao Lama. And also because under the guidance of Jignigyawe Nyugu came two really great Nyingma masters. The one was Jangyang Chimpo Wangpo Rinpoche, and the other was Patrol Rinpoche. And after receiving the predictions, Jignigyawe Nyugu put the feet of this practitioner over his head and prayed for his blessings, and prayed and made aspirations. And he said, "You recite Samantabhadra's aspirations, and I will recite the King of Aspiration prayers of Samantabhadra." Then Jignigyawe Nyugu made offerings of tea and sampa to the practitioner, but the practitioner refused and said it didn't take it. He said, "In my path ahead, I won't need this. You use this to continue your retreat." And after Jignigyawe Nyugu went to Chubu Monastery and Yangma Ching Monastery, and then he went to circumambulate a holy lake. And then afterwards, his right leg really started to get very swollen. And then from within his state of mind, there appeared a very beautiful woman. And she said, "You must go and teach at Chongpu Desu Mountain." And then she disappeared. And then on the road to Chongpu, he put his tent up next to a big rock. And then some of the local people first said he shouldn't, and then it was okay. And then they paid respect to him. And there was somebody there that said that they would help to cure this leg of his, which had become swollen. One day the tribe leader slaughtered one sheep and stabbed an ox, and using the gut of the sheep and the blood of the ox for making blood sausages, and offered this to Jignigyawe Nyugu. The drink that they gave him was made from very cruel purposes, and so he decided that he would not drink this, and he never drank this again. And then the local people said, "Please stay here and be our teacher, our guru." However, Jignigyawe Nyugu said, "I must still go to pay respects and pray at other holy sites, and so I won't stay at one place for the time being." The local people in tears asked him to please then just stay for 1 month, and he couldn't refuse them, and he stayed for 15 days. And everybody there Only the children as well really liked Jigme-Gyalwe Nyugu. And he taught them the songs of Milarepa. And apart from when they had to make food, they wouldn't leave the side of Jigme-Gyalwe Nyugu. And then after the 15 days, and he was preparing to go, and their one son, Kamadaji, was crying and holding on to him. So he stayed for 3 more days. And then, while Kamadaji was sleeping, they gave him some tea and sampa and 3 sheep. And he said, oh, these people are so nice to me. It must be that because of previous lives we were friends. And he continued on his pilgrimage. And then he went to Gardong Cave. And then he went to Jigongde Prefecture. And then he went to pray at Jigong Ti Monastery. And then eventually came to Sanye Chingpu, where he went into retreat for 2 weeks. After his retreat, he went to Padruga Monastery. And then he went to a cave near Siddha. And over there, he met a beggar. And he took some of his very good clothes and a good pair of shoes and gave it to this beggar. And then after that, he went to Yalong Cave to pay respects to Jigme Lingpa. And from Jigme Lingpa, he received many empowerments and many path instructions and guidance. And over there he stayed for 1 month and 25 days. And during this time, he only had a very little amount of sampa and tea. And then afterwards, Jigme Lingpa went to another monastery to go and teach. And so Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went to Yalong Tzu to go and pay homage to a holy site. And over here he went into 2 weeks of retreat, but he really had very little food. And after that, he just was drinking tea and a very small amount of sampa. And over here he dreamt that there was a whole crowd of very noisy people. And then he really felt that he was going to pass away. And so he dedicated all of his happiness to all sentient beings. And that all the sufferings of all sentient beings, he may himself be able to bear. And here he rested in the true nature of mind. And then afterwards, the pain subsided. And then he left again. And he went to sit before Jigme Lingpa again. And when he explained his experience of his meditation, he got the praise of Jigme Lingpa. And then, while in winter and he was in retreat, some people saw his footprint in the snow. And they thought, this is not a footprint of a person. And they were full of fear. And then he went somewhere to make prayers and pay respects. And these people that had seen his footprint followed him. And they asked him about the footprint. And so Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu explained to him his own experience. Then one day he went to Tsaru Mountain. And over there he met his old friend, Jigme Guojia. However, that time Jigme Guojia was in retreat and he was nearly finishing his retreat. And so Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu stayed here and went into retreat for 9+ months. And over here he really had very little tampa and some leftovers from Dromo offerings. And eventually he had no food. And just like Milarepa, sometimes he would just boil some leaves. And he really carried on arduous practice. And then he ate something which really made him very ill. Then he found some sheep's bones. And he boiled his sheep's bones. And after that, his body recovered a little. And when he finished his retreat, he decided he was going to leave. But his leg was really feeling dead. He tried moving along by holding his leg in one hand. However, his body was shaking. And then he thought, oh, I've really made a big mistake. This body of mine is very, very important in terms of practice. And so he encouraged himself and he carried on moving with some crutches he made as support. And like this, gradually he descended from the mount. And on the way, he drank some water and his body was starting to feel better. Then after a while, he was in terrible, terrible pain. And he really felt as if he wasn't sure if he was living or dying. And he carried on like this for 4 days until he descended the mountain. And he found somebody's home. And over there, he was given some tea, milk tea. And after having a little bit to eat, his body started to recover a little. And on the road, he met two people on horses, and they gave him some tea. And then he met a crowd of people, and he stayed with them for a few nights. And the tea leaves that he had, he gave to them. And in return, these Loba people gave him some food. And in this way, his body recovered. Then after going to many different places, he arrived at Hu Jingli. And at the time, his friend Jigme Guojia was busy in retreat there. And so Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu practiced with him for a few days. And then he went to visit Jigme Lingpa and receive blessings and empowerments and teachings. And then again, he returned to Wu Jingling. And he went into retreat there for 6 months. And during this time, he had dreams that he had purified a lot of negative karma. And he had a dream that the local deity of the mountain made offerings and that many things were going to happen in Lhasa. And after this, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu had an incredible belief in Jigme Lingpa. And as a result, while in retreat, he cried a lot. And then while weeping, he thought, what is the use of weeping so much? And in having so much renunciation, he thought, is this maybe an obstacle? And then he dressed in meditative concentration. Before, sometimes very big obstacles or attachments used to arise, but now he found there really weren't any attachments. And then never again did he have the thought that I want to rest in calm abiding. And this is starting to explain the state of realization of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. There was no differentiation between abiding and relaxation. And so as a result, he didn't have a thought to abide. And then after he went into retreat, and he left retreat, he went to many different places to pay homage and practice. And by the time he got to the side of Jigme Guojia, his friend, Dorje Ching Rinpoche was by the side of Jigme Lingpa. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche had written them a letter, requesting of the two of them that they must come and visit him. And when the two of them arrived at the side of Jigme Lingpa, Dorje Ching Rinpoche was there. And he told the two of them they must definitely go with him. And if they don't, then they will have broken the Bhadra promise that they had made in terms of their Bhadra activities. And so the two of them agreed, and Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu explained his practice experience to Jigme Lingpa. And Jigme Lingpa was very pleased and said, the state of realization is coming from the blessing of your Bhadra Guru and from the deities. And he said, don't forget to practice. And if you continue to practice, you will definitely attain Buddhahood. And then they left at Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And on the road, they also met Tudze Ijia. And unfortunately, his younger brother had passed away. And they were so happy to have met each other. It felt like they were family. And Tudze Ijia also made offerings just as they did. And then they left together and arrived at Idaju. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu returned to his hometown to go and see his mother. And at the time, his mother was very ill. And she said, my son, you have become such a great practitioner. You've already repaid any merits you owe me. And it's my great wish that you continue to practice like this. And in any other respects, you don't have to worry about me. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu gave his mother some empowerment and taught her to practice poa. And then he left at Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And then for over a month, they recited mantras together. And in some places, they would stay and recite for 10 days. And then he requested for leave from Dorje Ching Rinpoche and entered into retreat. After getting permission, and entered into retreat again. And within the retreat, he had many, many dreams. One of them was that he was with Dorje Ching Rinpoche, and there were a great white palace. And there were many, many people that were following him. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche asked, how many people are coming? And then there was somebody who was next to them and replied, there's over 40,000 people. And he said, afterwards, there will be countless sentient beings that follow. And what this dream represented was the number of sentient beings that Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu and Dorje Tsering Rinpoche will be able to benefit. And then when Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu met Dorje Tsering Rinpoche again, he explained the dream. And Dorje Tsering Rinpoche said, this must be as a result of aspirations we made together before. And he said, I also had a similar dream, and I really believe that your Dharma activities will be far more vast than mine. Because you, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, in a previous life were a great, great practitioner. And as a result, for you to be able to attain realizations will not be difficult. I was talking about a Terma treasure practitioner of maybe from Milarepa, and this was you. And so I'd like to give you some food and a tanka of Milarepa. And now you should go and practice some chur. And through this, you'll be able to benefit even more sentient beings. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu replied and said that maybe he wouldn't carry on practicing chur because in terms of chur, he'd be going to people's houses and monasteries and helping them to remove illnesses and obstacles. However, Jigme Lingpa had said even if he had to become a king, this wouldn't please Jigme Lingpa. But if he went into a cave and continued practicing, then he would feel very, very satisfied with the practices of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And then after that, Dorje Tsering Rinpoche and Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went into retreat together for 1 month. And he went and supported Dorje Tsering Rinpoche when he went to different places to recite mantras and to teach the Dharma. And whatever offerings he received, he gave it all to Dorje Tsering Rinpoche. And then after a while, Dorje Tsering Rinpoche was preparing to go to Wutai Mountain. And then he prepared to go to Mongolia. And at that time, the Mongolia was the area of Qinghai today. And the people over here mostly were Mongolians. And then Dorje Tsering Rinpoche wrote a letter to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, saying that you should come look for me in Mongolia in 3 years' time. And then one of the relatives of Dorje Tsering Rinpoche went with Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu to Dzogchen Monastery. However, unfortunately, this person's mother fell very ill. And so Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went to Dzogchen Monastery and he did retreat over there. And then somebody came from Xining and brought him a letter. And it was Dorje Tsering Rinpoche requesting that Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu would take a chur practice book to Mongolia. However, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu did not carry out this request. And then there was another Dharma practitioner that requested that he go to Lhasa. However, within the mind and the heart of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu was Jigme Lingpa. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu sent a letter to Dorje Tsering Rinpoche. And then he prepared to go to Lhasa and he said, if I go to Lhasa, there's nothing really that I can offer to Jigme Lingpa except for my very good practice as an offering. And then, not having something to offer, he spoke to Gyodzegang Lama. And Gyodze Lama said to him, you come to my house and I will assist you. And he gave him 55 kilograms of yak butter. And he then exchanged that for food and drink. And then they set off to Lhasa. And when they got to Lhasa, they then exchanged some of what they had into the local money. And then he made an offering to Jigme Lingpa of 100 pieces of the local money. And he stayed at the side of Jigme Lingpa for 3 months and requested a lot of Dharma. And Jigme Lingpa said, I didn't realize that your wisdom was so great. And from very young, you were learning philosophy and you really are a great practitioner now. And he said, stay by my side for 3 years and I will really teach you. However, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said he had already agreed with his friends to meet them. And so he must go and see them. And so Jigme Lingpa said, yes, as a practitioner, you don't need so much knowledge. He said, most important is that you must be kind. He already said that your study and reflection is much greater than most people. And so for you to go to many monasteries is not meaningful. The best is that you go to an isolated cave and practice there. And if anybody requests for you to teach the Dharma, it'll be very meaningful because your mind is like a mirror. And then after this, Jimmy Lempa gave many praises to Jimmy Gyalwenyuk. Then he returned to Lhasa and to Shitru, and he didn't return to his home. He put all his efforts into practice. And there was a case in some place where a few people had passed away, and they requested him to come and recite mantras, and he refused them. And then Dorje Ching Rinpoche, who was there to help build a monastery, came to the side of Jigme Gyalwenyuk, where he was practicing. And together they went and did teachings, and they received many offerings, especially Dorje Ching Rinpoche, and all the offerings that Jigme Gyalwenyuk received, he gave to Dorje Ching Rinpoche in order to help build the monastery. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche was very happy, and he said, "It was really that I came over here because I wanted you to help me with respect to the monastery." And then one of the Shitru Rinpoches that was also there requested Jigme Gyalwenyuk to go to Dzogchen Monastery as a guide or a teacher for a leader for those that are in retreat. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, "No, he shouldn't go. He should stay here." And then Jigme Gyalwenyuk said, "If two of my great masters are going to have conflict, then I am not interested at all." And then they carried on their discussion. And then it was agreed that Jigme Gyalwenyuk would go again with Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And then they left Shitru, and they went to Dogo, and then they went to Pema. And then they came to a place where they were building a new monastery. However, at this time, Dorje Ching Rinpoche and the local people were not getting along. And so he decided to leave. And Jigme Gyalwenyuk and 20 people went to Dziga, and there they recited some mantras for the local people. And at that time, Dorje Ching Rinpoche fell ill. And so Jigme Gyalwenyuk recited a lot of chö on his behalf and took Dorje Ching Rinpoche to a doctor where he received some treatment. And then took him to Tuoche, to Malkang, where there were hot springs which would help cure illness. And these hot springs were in Guanyin Bridge, Barkham area. And there they also invited Tsako and Chaozi from the tribe of Rigurong. And on one special holiday of the local people, Jimmy Gyalwenyuk taught them the practice of Chenrezig. And then thereafter, the special day became a special day of practice of Chenrezig for the local people. And at Jiarong, Dorje Ching Rinpoche and Jigme Gyalwenyuk received a lot of offerings. And then they returned to Dorje Ching Monastery. Because Dorje Ching Rinpoche had agreed to the requirements of Gurdze Rinpoche. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said to Jigme Gyalwenyuk, "You should return back to Shitru now. If you don't, Gurdze Rinpoche will be very upset. However, I still hope that you will return one day to help me here." And then Jigme Gyalwenyuk gave all of his offerings to Dorje Ching Rinpoche for the building of the monastery. And in return, Dorje Ching Rinpoche gave him some things. And then he returned back to Shitru. And on the way, he stayed at somebody's place and ate their food that they offered. And after eating the food, he always had a great pain in his head. And it stayed like this all the way to returning to Shitru. In fact, the illness just got worse. And then he used what Dorje Ching Rinpoche had given to him, and he recovered. And then he went to Jiarong for the activities of his teacher, and he met Winzu Rinpoche. And this name Winzu was reflective of being a great practitioner. And the people over there were many living Buddhas. And then he returned to Dzogchen Monastery, and he took two pelts, ox pelts or yak pelts, full of food and 10 kilograms of butter. And then carrying all of this, he went to attend the opening ceremony, the consecration of Dorje Ching Rinpoche's monastery. And he went to pay homage to Dorje Ching Rinpoche, and he ran around helping everybody. And when all of this was completed, he eventually returned back to Shitru, to his place of meditation. And after he'd been in retreat for a little while, one of the students from Jiarong came and asked him to please help remove some obstacles. And they said, all of the gurus said, it really requires that Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu comes to do this. And he said, if you don't come, it'll be really negative towards the Dharma activities. And he also brought a letter which had been written by a daughter, Ching Rinpoche, requesting that he unconditionally comes to help. And in order not to disappoint his guru, he then returned to Tsa Kwo. And when he was at Tsa Kwo, he recited Purba, Vajrakalaya practices for 21 days. And the people at Tsa Kwo were really moved, and they said, we really are all now your students, and we believe that you will pass on the lineage of Jigme Lingpa. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu replied, he said, I've never thought to be a head of a monastery. And the student of Tsa Kwo said, we understand. We know that this isn't meaningful. They said, what we will do then is we will build you a retreat hut that you can spend time over here. The only condition is that once a year you give us long life empowerments, and we won't concern you with anything else. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said, thank you very much. However, I don't think that this is going to be suitable. And so the people of Tsa Kwo said, okay, then if you want, then you can return back to your retreat place. They said, if what we are doing is not important, we really won't bother you anymore. However, please have compassion on us and come over here every now and then. And so Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu agreed. And then they made many, many offerings to him. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu returned. And on the way back, he gave a lot of those offerings. He made offerings to Gurdsa Lama. And he explained everything that had happened in the meantime to Gurdsa Lama. And then he explained what he wanted to do. And he said, I first want your agreement. And Gurdsa Lama said, yes, you can do this. And then he returned to Norbertsu. And at the monastery there, he made offerings of 75 kilograms of butter. And then in a nearby mountain, he then entered into retreat. And in that time, Dorje Ching Rinpoche came to Norbe Monastery, and Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went to pay homage to him. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche asked him what his future plans are. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu replied that this string had been given to Lama Geza and to my relatives and to the Tusi headmen. So the future of Tusi Ktako and Rugal Rung will summon me to perform and teach the Dharma. He said, I cannot predict how many problems will occur in the future, but after that, from now on, I will put the string in my own hands and on my own head. And next year, I'll probably go to Moshi Lanibao, a holy place, and I will spend some time over there. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, if you go and spend so much time in a remote place like this, is maybe not so good. It's better that we have the same intentions and we work together. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said, thank you very much. However, this time I am going to follow my own idea. If I carry on with you according to your plans, I will not be able to attain the same realization as you. And I feel like I'm losing my state of realization, so it is better that I carry on alone. Then Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, if this is what you wish to do, then what we are actually doing is breaking our Dharma activities. And on hearing this, then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu let go of his own aspirations. And there was a very special Mongolian bag that he had, and he knew that Dorje Ching Rinpoche really liked it, so he offered it to Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And then the two of them together left Norbu Monastery. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu did his own retreat, and he had many strange dreams. And he became very ill, and so he went to go and see the doctor. And in the winter, he was in Gurmo Monastery, and over there, he taught to the students. And then some of the students requested him to build a monastery over here. However, he didn't immediately reply, and he went to visit Rinpoche, and told him what had happened. And over here, the reincarnation of Jigme Chogyal Wangpo was building a money stone wall, Lalong. And over there, he met the reincarnation of Jigme Lingpa, who had been confirmed as such by Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And then there was somebody that came to pay respects to Dorje Ching Rinpoche, and he asked who Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu was. And Dorje Ching Rinpoche said, that is somebody who is inseparable from me. He is at the same mind as me. However, right now he is sick, and so he's going to Shitru to go and see a doctor. Then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu made an offering of a horse to the reincarnation of Jigme Lingpa. And so Dorje Ching Rinpoche said to him that maybe he should stay and practice here. And then again, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu made offerings to the reincarnation. And then Dorje Ching Rinpoche said to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, we shouldn't be separated again. Stay here and see the doctor. Doesn't matter where you are, there is no place better than this. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu had a look at the situation in terms of doing retreat, and then Jigme Lingpa suggested one cave for him to go and retreat in. However, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu looked at the situation and he saw that for many masters and for many students, many of them had given up their freedom. However, to fulfill the wishes of Dorje Ching Rinpoche, he stayed there for a year. And eventually, at the age of 40, he arrived at Guo Chu. And somebody suggested that he went to Chamala Mountain Cave. And over there, he went into retreat, and his students came and requested the Dharma. Then he would teach the Dharma and give them empowerments. And in the second year, some people requested for him to come and teach. And also there was a message sent from Dorje Ching Rinpoche, wishing for him to come to Durga. And some other students also mentioned there were some very important people that were requesting teachings. And that if he does go, it will be very good for his future Dharma activities. However, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu refused the request. And he wrote a letter to Dorje Ching Rinpoche and then received the permission from his guru. And while he was staying at Chamalong, he taught many times to the local people. He told them not to kill and to perform animal liberations. And he did many 100-day retreats. And he also went to many monasteries and taught them the Dharma and gave empowerments. And liberated many cattle and yaks and sheep, goats. And after these activities of saving sentient beings, he continued to meditate in retreat at Chamalong. And in that time, the reincarnation of Jigme Lingpa and Dorje Ching Rinpoche came to Shitru. And on seeing them, he explained his practice. And then Dorje Ching Rinpoche wanted to go to Lhasa to pay homages and practice. And because Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu thought of the reincarnation of his guru, he made many offerings. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went to various different monasteries and he taught the Dharma and he taught it to many Trulkus. And then later in Shitru, there were the two different people, and these groups of people, there was a lot of conflict. And these people were the people of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu and Dorje Ching Rinpoche. And because they couldn't come to any agreement, one section of this group of people of this tribe was going to leave. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu requested them to consider this very carefully. And then one of the participants said, oh, we've experienced a lot of difficulties, and we really hope that maybe you join us. There are many things we don't understand. However, we're very happy to bring you along. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu really thought, oh, these people really don't have wisdom. He thought, I've really given them many empowerments and teachings, and still they are like this. If I don't go with them, they will probably give rise to negative thinking towards the guru. And if they do this, they will generate a lot of negative karma for themselves. And if I try, they're not going to listen, they're not going to understand. And so maybe it's better that I go with them. Maybe it's better I go with them, then they won't forget the reasonings of the Dharma that I've taught them. And they won't give rise to a lot of negative karma. And so he travelled with them to Guo Lo Ma Ching. And because in many of the monasteries they are the students of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, that when he arrived, they sent a party to greet him. And they said, if you carry on with a small tribe and group of people, we will feel very hurt. We can give them whatever they need. And they also brought a letter from Dorje Tsing Rinpoche. And it wrote, if you are traveling like this with these people, other people might not think you are so great. However, I understand. The reality is you are doing it because of your great compassion. And it's because from past lives, this life and future lives, you always have great compassion for sentient beings and you never abandon them. And in terms of this, you have done very well. However, I'm concerned about you if you continue with them. I've got many plans for you and I really wish that you come and visit me before I leave this earth. And so they returned to Shichu together and everybody from the tribe had a good life. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu continued to Pama to see Dorje Tsing Rinpoche. And on meeting Dorje Tsing Rinpoche, Dorje Tsing Rinpoche lovingly held his hand. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu requested for some Dharma from Dorje Tsing Rinpoche. And Dorje Tsing Rinpoche told him the place that he should go to benefit sentient beings in the future. Then, according to the instructions of Dorje Tsing Rinpoche, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu built a retreat hut on the mountain nearby to Shichu. And then over here, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu spent many days, and then he had a dream that 100 peaceful and wrathful deities emerged out of emptiness, with 4 deities, one red, white, yellow, and green, welcoming Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu and took him up into the heavens. And they guided him into the sky, and then from the sky, Dorje Tsing Rinpoche appeared. And they said, oh, this great guru's Dharma activities in benefiting sentient beings haven't been perfected yet, and that they still teach him. And so they all surrounded him. And then afterwards, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu awoke from the dream. And then he continued in retreat for a long time. And then he met Dorje Tsing Rinpoche and made great offerings to him, I think of 21 pieces of silver. And at this time, his helper, Danzin, and went to many monasteries and gave them White Umbrella Deity texts to practice. And then at this time, the reincarnation of Jing Lingpa, Dorje Tsing Ishi Dorje, arrived and went to the retreat place of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And Dorje Tsing Rinpoche recited many texts of Chö. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu made many offerings to the reincarnation of Jigme Lingpa. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu asked Dorje Tsing Rinpoche to sing a song. And Dorje Tsing Rinpoche said, maybe we should sing the songs of King Geza. However, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu didn't like singing. So because of the request of Dorje Tsing Rinpoche, he found somebody who would be able to sing the songs of King Geza. And while this person was singing the songs of King Geza, Dorje Tsing Rinpoche made a Vajra knot. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu asked about this. And Dorje Tsing Rinpoche said, oh, it was actually already like this. And then he gave it to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. During this time, the two masters spent a lot of time together. And there were signs that Dorje Tsing Rinpoche was going to be welcomed into the Akinishta realm by many Dakinis. This was showing that his up-and-coming departure from this world was imminent. At that time, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu was very sad, very woeful, and said to all the worldly and supramundane Dakinis, now all the sentient beings will be so sad, so pitiful, if you take the reincarnation of my guru to the Akinishta realm. It will be as if you are committing murder. And Dorje Tsing Rinpoche said that Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu was a Terma treasure master and gave him some Terma treasure empowerments and teachings. Thereafter, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went to Tangzu Ching Monastery. And then there was the fourth Dzogchen Rinpoche, Nangka Rinpoche, who was very close to attaining Parinirvana. And he'd felt his activities for benefiting sentient beings for this lifetime were coming to a close. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went to the Dzogchen Rinpoche and requested him to please have a long life. And he said, if you want to have long life, then possibly recite these texts. And so Dzogchen Rinpoche mentioned many texts to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu and told him how many to recite. And as everybody was reciting and they felt that they would never be able to finish it, then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu thought of the mantra that multiplies merits. And the Dharma to recite, some of them were like 8,000 or 10,000 times to be recited. And of these texts, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu thought, yeah, there are the long texts and there are also the short texts. And so maybe we can use different methods in order to be able to complete the required amount of recitations. In addition to the text to be recited, Dzogchen Rinpoche said that they need to do animal liberations of over 100 million lives. And when many people started to lose faith as to whether they would be able to complete this task, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu didn't lose faith, and he made the vow that he would complete this task. And after hearing this, Dzogchen Rinpoche felt full of cherishing, and as a result, he agreed to stay and have long life. Then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu went to other places to teach the Dharma, and they liberated more than 500 yak and sheep, and he convinced the local people to stop any activities that hurt the insects on the prairie and to support positive actions. And all his teachings, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu really generated vast positive Dharma activities. Until the time that he went into Parinirvana, he continued teaching and benefiting sentient beings. With his help with building monasteries, teaching students, and giving various many people empowerments. And really, there's many stories about Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. And although the actions and the activities of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will continue into the future, the Dharma activities of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu were coming to an end and were perfected. And His Holiness Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu also had to face birth, old age, sickness and death. And there was a time that he really fell and hurt himself very badly, and he experienced all kinds of different ailments and illnesses. And he also felt that his activities were coming to an end because of all of the negativities of the sentient beings. And as a result, he used to say some very sad things to the students at times. And he said to the students, although many of you have received the Dharma, there are many that haven't. And for me to be able to continue these activities for how long, I'm really not sure. And those of you who are here listening to the Dharma, I hope you don't have any regrets. Really consider this, because my days of Dharma activities are few. And when I pass into Parinirvana, I'm not going to be of much use. It says in the Buddha Sutras that anybody that has any contact or smells, even the smell of the dead body of an enlightened being, will plant the seeds of liberation within them. All of those that may be able to hear or see or touch or encounter somehow an enlightened guru, they will attain the seeds of attaining Buddhahood. As long as we have this great intention to benefit sentient beings, then all of those sentient beings will attain those seeds for liberation. And so for all of you, it's very important that you engage in positive activities. In the past, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu never mentioned his prophecies, the bestowals he received, the secrets he knew, and the meetings with Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that he had. But at that time, Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu recounted everything in detail with his disciple. And he wanted to build a sacred stupa. And he said, let's start right now, because we don't know what will happen after I have passed into Parinirvana, whether it will be built or not. And so they built a sacred stupa, and it was built by the Kwangdo craftsmen, and then they decorated the stupa. And he filled it with many blessed and holy items. And many students came to pay respect to Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, and because he had taught them the Dharma, each of them, he gave them a Vajranaut. And he also gave everybody Dharma transmissions. And amongst the people there was a Tusi couple from Sirshu. And Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu gave the wife of the couple an extra Vajra knot. And it is said that later Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu reincarnated into the family of this Tusi couple from Sirshu. And then Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu became very ill, and he had many problems with his leg and his foot. And the students were praying for his long life. However, he never recovered from his illness. And even still, in the monastery, he gave everybody the empowerments of the Longchen Yentik. And this was Ichu Monastery, and everybody could see rainbows outside. And then that evening, he ate something, and it seemed as if his illness was becoming more and more serious. Even although his condition was very frail, he continued to offer an empowerment to the students. And he said to everybody, this is like the turning of Buddha, of the third Dharma wheel. And this is the last time I will be teaching and giving empowerments. And so everybody cherish this. It's not certain that I will recover from my illness. And I must follow the road that everybody must follow, meaning I will die. And none of you must feel hurt. If every one of you lights a butter lamp, this will be of incredibly great merit. All of you lighting the butter lamps won't be of great benefit to me. However, for all of you, it will be of great benefit in terms of the Dharma path. And his illness got worse and worse. As a result, the students were doing many, many Dharma activities on his behalf and requesting for the long life of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu. Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu said to them, of all of the great masters of the past, all of them have left this world. And I know that you have great faith in me. However, unless you have attained freedom, there is no certainty where we will go in our next life. After a few days, the students asked Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, should we request another Rinpoche to come and visit? And he said, right now, there's no need. However, later, if you want, you can ask Jarung Zugu or Guoling Zugu. A few more days passed, and then on the 21st of December, in the water tiger year of the Tibetan calendar, the great Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu fulfilled his aspirations of benefiting sentient beings and left this world in the state of Dhammakaya. And this story of Jigme Gyalwe Nyugu, a disciple of Buddha, was written and recounted by Dorchen Yujin.